Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
All right, if you'll go ahead and find your way back to your home seat, that is, we'll go ahead and get started. We have a young lady that's been visiting with us really all summer, I guess, huh, Hannah? And she's from Brazil. And she is fixing to go home. And she has been here, and God has blessed her and used her, and she's got one of the most vivacious smiles I've ever seen, one of those humble, excited smiles, you know. And we want to pray for her before she goes back. Hannah, why don't you come up here, hon? Joe, why don't you come up here, and Debbie, y'all come. The family can come, yes. Most of them are from Brazil. You know, Joe, y'all are way outnumbered already. You know, you do know that, don't you?
That's right.
But we want to pray for Hannah. In fact, why don't you pray for her, Joe? Let me get, I don't have a mic.
No, that's okay.
Just pray loud.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for Hannah's life. Lord, we thank you that she's going back with a light in her that started in Brazil, but that you would just use her, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Use her among family and friends. Use her at the university, Lord, where they're so liberal. Lord, we thank you for the growth that she's had here. Lord, just continually use her and bless her. Thank you for your angels about her, Lord.
Yes.
To protect her and minister to her.
Yes, Lord.
And just send her forth with a new anointing that she will not only be blessed, but she'll be a blessing to others. We thank you for her life. Thank you for you taking care of her. In your name, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Joe and Debbie have spent many years in Brazil ministering to people, and their sons has married daughters, and they've adopted a little sweetheart, you know. And she gets so involved in the sermons that sometimes I get to laughing at her and I forget what Pastor Terry was saying, you know. But the wisdom that God's given them, so I just thank God for that. Well, it's going to be my turn to preach today. Pastor Terry is in, thank you. Pastor Terry is in California. He's doing a youth retreat over there. He does that every year. And they usually stay up playing games and doing stuff all Saturday night. So I do know that he will covet your prayers today. Because when you get that many people together and they've been up all night long, it's really hard to preach to them the next morning. Because you see a lot of yawns and doing stuff, and it will detract. So if I see y'all doing that, you better have been to camp somewhere. No, I'm not going to do you that. But I want to talk to you today about some seriousness. How many of you know that our country is getting in dire needs? If we don't make a move, and I'm talking about a move about turning back to God. Now, you may be there, but I promise you, your neighbors and the people around you are not there, because we have let things slip in America. As Christians, we've let things slip in the church. And I want to talk to us today about the world system. I want to talk to us today about the flesh, that thing that's tempted to pull us away from the things of God. And if I can, I want to expound on some of those things today. And I want to talk about just immediately about America. In New York Harbor was a place called Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty. And it represents a free country. And we have the stars and the stripes. The flag is what we have in America. And I want you to know that America was bought with blood. Many soldiers gave their lives for America. They died on battlefields all over this world just that we can be free and have that independence. And we are Americans. Amen? Now don't y'all go to sleep on me. I mean, if you're an American, you ought to come to that place and say, I am an American, and thank God. Because that represents this country. That represents what we stand for as Americans. And one of the things that we were established on was the things of God. That's what makes it special. Now, I want you to know, I've been in some foreign countries before, and their countries don't represent God, but they got people that do there. And they thank God for their country, and they thank God for what God has done in their lives. They get excited about the things of God. And I want you to know this is the church that we're in right now, and it was born in Israel, if you will, on a hill called Calvary. That is Golgotha. Christ was on that cross, and He freed us from bondage and sin. And He is the bright and morning star. And it was stripes on His backs that we are healed, and we were bought with His blood. We are Christians. Amen? That ought to excite us to know that God has done something to give us independence in our spiritual walk with Him. The Pericles built a civilization upon culture, and it failed. Caesar built a civilization upon power, and it failed. Our forefathers founded our nation upon Christian faith, and America will live so long as the Lord is our God. If the Lord is not our God, I promise you one thing, we will fail just like they did, because we've missed the things that God's got for us. They left a land where they were persecuted to find a land where they were free to worship God. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt down upon the shore and thanked God for giving them the new country. You know, I went to one of the meetings that they had recently, and they had some ladies there that was from Cuba, and they were crying, going to an American meeting, a tea party. The first thing, I didn't know what it was or what it was all about. And she was telling me, she said, "Who are you for?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" I started talking to them, and she got tears in her eyes. And she said, "Are you an American?" And I said, "I sure am." She says, "You better fight for your country." She said, "I came from Cuba." And she said, "And I want to tell you Americans something." She said, "This place should have been filled with Americans all over it, standing up for their country. Because if you don't, you will lose it." And I said, "Why would you say that?" She said, "Well, I'm from Cuba, and we did exactly what y'all are doing. We went to sleep at the wheel, and we did not fight for our country. We did not fight for our God, and we got taken out of our country." And she said, "Thank God for America, because we had a place to go." She said, and she looked at me with her finger pointed right at me, and she says, "And you people don't have a place to go. You're not welcomed anywhere in this world. America is the place." That's why we got so many people coming to America trying to get freedom. You know, we get mad about some of the things that go on, but these people are trying to go into a survival mode and trying to get to a place just like we did years ago when our forefathers came on a boat to come to America to worship their God. And today you think about the 4th of July, 4th of, you know, it's the 4th, it's Independence Day, and I could get on a soapbox and say, "Well, where's all the people?" And I'm going to be just like everybody else. When this church is over, I'm going to go somewhere and barbecue me a hamburger. But sometimes we just put things ahead of God. And we got to come back to that place where we start putting God as the leader of our lives. Amen? A South American president was right when he said, "South America was settled by men who were seeking gold." But he also said, "North America was settled by men who were seeking God." And I want you to know, church, today, are we still seeking God with all of our heart? Are we letting the things of this world come and snatch those things away from us? You see, we got to come to that place and thank God for things and material things and blessings. But when we leave God out of the equation, we've missed it all. And we'll be just like any other nation that left God out. We will fall. Rome was a proud ruler of the world, but luxury and lust ate at the center of her life, and she perished. The Medo-Persians had a great nation, but they drank their way to doom. Egypt flourished under Joseph. 400 years went by and the people had forgotten Joseph and his God, and Egypt went down. Greece was under Alexander, the conqueror of the world, but he could not conquer himself. He died in a drunken orgy, and Greece came tumbling down. You know, these are history things right here that we as America needs to come to that place and realize, not so much as Americans, but as Christians. If we don't maintain what God has done in our lives, we will lose it too. We will fall down and lose everything that God has got for us. But I got some good news. Jesus is coming. Some better news is we got some time before he comes, so we can go ahead and do what God wants us to do. And today's sermon is called To Be Free, a Choice. We have a choice in what we need to do. Aren't you glad that God gave us a free will choice, that we can choose to do right? We can choose to do wrong. We can choose to serve God, and we can choose not to serve God. We can choose to raise our children. You know, here's a couple that brought their children and said, we want them to serve God. That is so important. But the main thing is that we follow through with all of that. And don't forget about what God has done in our lives. This is the word for world. Jesus says, I'm leaving. He told his disciples, he gathered them all up and he says, I'm leaving this world. But I'm going to leave you in the world. But you are not supposed to be part of the world. Even though I'm going to leave you there, don't become a part of the world. Because the world will hurt you. The world will destroy what I have put into your life. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. But I want you to listen to what this is. The world, the word world literally means cosmos. And this is what it is. It refers to the order or arrangement under which Satan has organized the world of unbelieving mankind upon his cosmic principles of force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and pleasure. The world system is a social system, and it has everything to do with control, money, and power, ungodliness, and it has to do with meat and drink, and it is trusting in a leader. Instead of being the free people that God's got for us, that he wants us to be, that's what people fall back on. Because you know what? If you do the world system, you don't have to have faith. Somebody will tell you what to do, when to get up, and how to do it. But God has a better plan for us in the spiritual realm. The spiritual world, listen to this, is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. How many of you like that? Y'all are getting mighty quiet on me here. I know I'm not that bad yet. We're led by the Spirit, and we're not controlled. We're led by the Spirit of God. And it also has provisions met, and that is salvation. And the main part of it is trust in God. Not trust in America. Not trust in the church. It's trust in God. And when you trust in God, you have to have faith to make things work in your life. Jesus said he was leaving the world, and I just shared that with you. Listen to this in Galatians 6. Donna's going to put that up there, and we're going to read it. It says, do not be deceived. And I want you to listen to this. The Apostle Paul wrote just about every scripture I'm going to be reading today. So if you really get mad with me, just say the Apostle Paul told him what to do. No, God showed me that. I was sharing Wednesday night up here about some things that God's doing that I see. Because every sermon that I go to get ready is you know, it's like, Lord, I just want to get one of those sermons that's going to bless people and just make them just have a good time, and when they feel there, they can just pat one another on the back and say, boy, that was a good old word. You know, that was good. It was fun. I just feel refreshed. Well, I've prayed the last four sermons that I've done, and God don't give me those kind of sermons. He gives me the kind of sermon that's going to really get in there and dig on all of us. And I'm saying all of us. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about me. Because I still believe that Jesus is coming back after a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for the bride that's going to be pure and holy. And for us to get to that place, when we got people in this world that tell us that we're no longer a Christian nation, we better stop and look and listen and say, maybe I need some work done. Not in someone else's life, but right here. How many would amen that? You know, we don't put those kind of scriptures on our refrigerator about dying to self, you know. It's like whatever you put your hand to, let it be blessed. You know, we can just line them up down through there. But when it comes to something that we really need and really need to do in our lives, we back up from it as Christians. When there's a cause, how many times do you step up to it? When there's a place to witness, how many times do you step up or wait for someone else to do it? When you hear the voice of God, are you being obedient to doing what God says to do? Now, y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just sharing some stuff with you that's going to help you. And it says, because if we don't do those things, we can become deceived. We can get to that place where we no longer hear the voice of God. We no longer see what God's doing. You see, I get up every day and I pray, Lord, I want to hear from you. I don't care what goes on in this world, but God, I want to hear. If it's just one word, I want to know that I'm there, that I have your assurance, and I have your plan as part of my life. God, lead me to that place that I can hear. But then also I pray, Lord, let me see. Let me see your hand of mercy work today. Not only in my life, but people that I'm involved with. God, I want to see a miracle today. I want to see something happen that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were involved in it. How many think that's a good prayer to pray? And you know what? God honors that. I see one every day. I see a miracle. And when I get to the point where I don't see one outside manifest, I go to my mirror and I look at it. And it's like, you're there, boy. You ain't got a hair on your head, but you're breathing and you still love God. That's a miracle. You got a mirror in your house? I guarantee it's an average. Every American has got at least 6 mirrors somewhere. Listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh, will reap also the flesh corrupted. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How many of you know that we need to sow to everlasting life? In everything that we do, we need to come to that place and say, Lord, I'm going to plant seeds. I'm going to sow things that's going to reap everlasting life. Not only to my life, but to my family, to my friends, to the church, the person at the service station, the person at Walmart. Lord, I want to sow some seed so I can see eternal life through that. And we can do that if we'll do it. But if we don't do it, we stand in a place of being deceived because we're not putting out good seed. Basically, we're putting out seed that goes nowhere. And after a while, we can become deceived. You know, I learned one time when I was up in Kentwood, my uncle was, they were drilling oil on his land up in Osaka. It really wasn't Osaka, it was Lion Creek. Everybody claims Osaka, but it's Lion Creek. Bobby's laughing, he knows where that's at, he's been there. But they were there drilling for oil. And I watched them come with these trucks, and they drilled and drilled and drilled. They didn't get nothing. And then they moved. They went to another spot, and they drilled and drilled and drilled. They got nothing. And I watched these people do that for almost a year. And it was like, you know, if I was in the oil business, I think I would try to find out where oil was before I just went to drilling. But back then, they didn't know that. They just drilled holes, and they just bombed things and got a sonic boom thing, and they found out some of it. But they missed a lot on it. But I see a lot of times that Christians, we pray, we don't get results. We pray, we don't get results. So after a while, we just quit praying. We let somebody else do it. We'll call a pastor and say, hey, I'm going through this. Y'all pray. Put me on a prayer chain. But how many times do we stop as Christians and really get on our face before God and say, God, I want you to, I'm going to drill. I'm going to plant some good seed, and I'm going to watch a harvest come out of that. Because if we don't put the good seed, the nothing seed will come up too. And it will overflow you. The bad seed sometimes will fill your barns quicker than anything else. And it's useless, and it's no good. That tells me I need to put good seed in the ground that I will reap a good harvest. And by the way, he says it's from everlasting. That is a good thing to have. And let us not grow weary while doing it. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I mean, we started praying today. Hopefully you've been praying. But we're kind of kicking it off for praying for America. For praying for our independence. For praying for our freedom. For praying that God will bring us back to a place that we will begin to reap a good harvest. Let's don't stop. Let's keep on going because the Bible says that it will come to pass if we don't lose heart, if we'll continue on in that. The children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. I mean, here's God. He's delivered these people from a place of bondage where they were under control. They were under the cosmos, if you will. They were under all of that. They were basically slaves in a country and had to get up every day. And then they started whining one day. And now, not only do they have to make the brick, they have to go cut the straw and put it in the brick, in the mix, the mortar, to mix it up to make the bricks. They got it worse. And then God delivers them. And then all the people in Egypt give them all their gold and silver and said, y'all take this stuff and go. Get out of here. We want these curses to stop. Our country's being destroyed because y'all are here. Leave. And they left for a place of freedom. They left to go to the promised land. And on the way, 40 years it took them to go, 275 miles, they began to have this longing inside of them to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. You know, we look at that and say, what kind of nut was that? But yet, we turn around sometimes and we want to go back to the flesh. I find people all the time, that they're tired of serving God. They prayed two or three times for something and they didn't get an answer. And then they back out. And now they're doing nothing. In the last 2 weeks, I've talked to two people that are basically doing nothing and going nowhere because they chose to go back away from the promised land. And we got to come to that place, church, and stop that. The promised land, listen to this, what it requires. It requires, first of all, faith. That means reaching up for something that you don't have and believing for it long enough until you pull it down and you got it in your hand. That's what faith is all about. And that's what God requires if we're going to go to the promised land. How many of you are going to the promised land? We are going to the promised land, but it requires faith. Another thing is it has to do with trusting in God's word. When God's word says to do something, we need to take that seriously and say, God said it, and whether I see it, whether I even believe it or not, that is the fact that we have to hang on to. Now, I got to get my faith in operation to believe for the fact, and then I will get the results of what's there. But sometimes we ask according to God's word and we don't exercise our faith and we don't see things begin to happen in our lives. And we go weary and we back up and say, well, I guess that just wasn't God's plan. See, I'm under the insinuation when God tells me something or I get an invitation, I start making preparation to go there. And my prayer is, God, if you don't want me to go there, then you stop me. Because sometimes I've done stuff and went places that I knew that I was going to have a hard time trying to get there. I knew that God had a destination. He had a purpose for me to go to that spot. And immediately, it was like all hell broke loose. The devil unleashed everything that he could to stop me from going to that place. But I knew that God wanted me to go there. Now, I had a choice to do. Either I could believe God's word, or I could exercise my faith to get there, or I could look at the circumstances around that and say, that ain't God. I'm not going. For instance, one morning I came here, and I'm not saying this because it's me, because this happens a lot of times, and I thank God that it can. But I went somewhere and did something, and somebody gave me $200, brand new $100 bills, you know. And I looked at them, and it's like, wow, what a blessing from God. So I came here, and I already had it in my mind exactly where I was going to go spend them. I knew it. When, as soon as I saw them, it's like, that's where it's going to go. Janice and I come in here and sit down, and I looked around in here, and I saw a particular person, and God says, give them that money. And the first thought in my mind was, that ain't God. I know y'all don't do that, but I did. That ain't God. I mean, he gave that money to me. That's just not God. So I sit there and I wrestle with it just about 2 minutes. And it's like, yeah, it is God. Because God says, do it, do it. So I got up and went and gave that person that money. And I never realized the impact that it would do for their life. But you know what? It was not for that person. That person had been praying about helping someone else that didn't have money. And they had no means of giving that person money. And when I gave that person money, I thought they needed it more than any person. But they took that same money that I gave them, and they gave it to someone else. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You see, we don't never see what goes on around the sides. I just happened to find that out one time. It took about 6 months, but it come back around. But if I were to have looked at the situation, I'd have said, no, there's other people here. God, you speak to them. But he didn't do that. He spoke to me. You know why? It was a test. This is only a test. You ever hear that thing on your radio? This is a test. Had it been a real alert, you would probably not be here right now. Is what they're really saying, but we're not, thank God it hadn't happened yet. But it's coming. Children of Israel, they were examples to us. Don, if you put that scripture up there. I'm going to read this. It's kind of lengthy if you want to turn there in your Bible, because there's some really important things to listen to while we're going through there. Because sometimes we worry, we don't worry. Let me put it that way. We think about the judgment of God, and it's like, hey, I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I am out of the judgment plan. I don't have to worry about that. All I got to do is just, I got my ticket to heaven, and I'm going to heaven. And then sometimes we just live like the devil. Just be honest with you. I see people do that all the time. And they think in their mind everything is going to be cool. It's going to be kosher. I don't have to worry about a thing. But I want you to listen to this. As some of the children of Israel, the same group that left Egypt to go to the promised land. And I want you to know the Apostle Paul wrote this. This is in 1 Corinthians. And I think sometimes we look over some stuff. But I want us to look at it today. And I can't judge you and you can't judge me. But I tell you what I can do. I can judge myself. And if I see things in my life, I'm going to judge myself. And you know why? Because if I don't judge myself, God will judge me one day. And I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm not sure what throne I'm going to get judged at. But I do know that one day the fire is going to come and it's going to burn up all the wood, hay, and stubble. And the only thing that's going to be left is the gold and the pure things that God put in our lives. And I want to make sure as a Christian that I listen to what the Spirit of God says, and I want to make sure that I'm doing what God would be pleased with. Amen? Let's listen to it. It says, moreover, brethren, starting in verse 1 through 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that, I want you to listen to this word, all, I'm going to say it about 4 or 5 times, that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate at the same spiritual food, and all drank at the same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That tells me that Christ was there leading them and showing them and wooing them. In His wisdom and in His love and His knowledge, He was wooing them and showing them, I am the water of life. Follow me. And it says they were all, A-L-L, there doing those things. Now let's move on. It says, but with most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our, everybody say our? Not somebody else's, it says our examples. And I believe Paul wrote this and he meant for us right now in this generation that it's our examples if we'll listen to it and heed to it. To the extent that we should not lust after evil things. You remember that cosmos I talked to you about a while ago? That world system that's out there that they're trying to take in God out of everything? How many of you know that we've taken God, I say we, they have taken God out of our school? They've taken God out of our government. They're trying to take God out of our churches. And they're trying to take God off of our money. And they're trying to take things that's on the buildings in Washington and fill them in. Engrave things that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do. They want to fill all of that in. Anything that's got to do with God. This cosmos system wants to remove God from everything because it's an ungodly thing. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy here, but trust me. And do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, as in one day 23,000 fell. You know, God's judgment was in the Old Testament. Things that people get by with right now, and thank God for God's grace. I'm going to tell you what, I thank God for His grace every day of things that go on around us. I mean, I've probably done 7 funerals in the last month and a half around Baton Rouge, different ones that I know that have died. Some of them I did them. But you stop and think about 23,000 people died in one day because of the judgment of God. God said, don't do it, and they did it, and they died. Now, you know, we can do it right now and sometimes get away with it, but we're going to still have to pay the price somewhere along the way. I just decided a long time ago, don't do it. There will never be a payday if you don't do those things. So I've had to come to that place in my life to live a pure, holy Christian life before the Lord. And that's what we're here for, is to equip the church in what to do and how to do. To challenge you, don't do that. If you do, this is things that happen right here. Now, I know that God's judgment's not going to happen like that right now. But I do know that we're headed for a day of judgment. And if we're not living Christian lives, we're going to be amongst those that's going to be separated. And that's what's so important about getting people won over to the Lord. I see people all the time and witness to them. And some of them are good, moral people. They do a lot of good things. They're givers. They're lovers. They do a lot of good things. But they don't know Jesus Christ. And that is what we're going to be judged on one day. And we're also going to be judged in what we did in the flesh and not out of the flesh. But it says, let us not commit sin, sexual immorality, some of them did. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Remember how they raised the serpent up on the stick and all those that looked at it were saved, the ones that made fun of it? The snakes literally killed them, wiped them out. And it says, nor complain as some of them who also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Whom the ends of the ages has come. Now, how far you think we've gone since this happened to them? And I don't know how long we're going to be here. I mean, I still got boys, and I want them to get married. I want grandkids, and I want to see grandkids grow up. But I'm going to tell you what, every time I go outside or read the newspaper, I look around and say, Jesus is coming. Because all these things are happening. And I don't have to worry about all of these other things that's in this world. All I have to worry about is getting the gospel out there, loving you and equipping you and looking up, because that's where we're going. Amen? It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And idolatry is anything that takes time and effort and has got your attention over God. That is idolatry. You can name it anything else, but if it takes time and energy away from God, it's an idol to you. We might as well call it what it is. But we got to flee from those things. And it says, I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. And that's why the Bible says, it says, if we'll judge ourselves, then God will not judge us. And I pray sometimes and I say, Lord, if there's one thing, if there's just one thing that's standing between me and you and your purpose in my life, God, I want that thing removed. I want to get rid of it. It is no good, and it will destroy me, and I know it will. And the main thing is, I want you to be number one. Amen? Examples. Israel wanted a king. You know, God delivers them. He gets them past this point, and then they come to that place, and it says, you know what? All these other nations around us, they all have kings. We want a king. We want somebody to tell us what to do. We want somebody that's going to provide everything that we need. We're tired of trusting in God. We're tired of walking in this faith thing and not knowing what things are going to be about. We want a king. We want a king to come. And God says, you want a king? I'll give you a king. And he gave them one. And you ought to read about him, what he did to them. Amen? A king, Israel wanted a king, and that was a flesh provider, not trusting in God, and no faith to do that. A faithless people. And my Bible says when Jesus comes back that he's going to be looking for people that are people of faith. That tells me the number one thing that I need to do in my life is to have faith. And that is trust in God and trust in His Word. Amen? That we got to come to that place and be sure that that is our top priority. That we have the faith of God permeating out of our lives. That we're constantly believing God and seeing things happen. And if we continue on it, we will not be weary and well doing it. But we will see the glory of God. Amen? Wisdom is how we walk. Either flesh or spirit. Now this is how we get out of the world or we get in the world. Listen to this. This is Galatians. Everybody say this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Galatians 5:17-21. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit." Everybody say led by the spirit. "You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery." And by the way, any of these, if you're guilty of one of them, I'm not talking about all of them. I'm talking about one of them. If you break one of the laws, you're just as guilty for breaking that one as you did all the rest of them. You know, that's that mentality about big sins and little sins. We got to come to that place and realize sin is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And it's not little sins and big sins. It is sin. And when we call sin for what it is, it makes a difference. You know, this. You know, you watch any kind of TV and it says, well, they don't say adultery. They said, well, they had an affair, you know. Or they had an issue with another person. Or they are, I can't even think of that word that they use sometimes. But you put a word there. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. You know, I get a book. I went down to just to go to show you how the devil does stuff. When I went to cruising the coast a couple of years ago, we were down there, and this guy was. I was sitting there talking to him, and I was asking him what was going on in the area and all that stuff. He said, "Well, you don't get the book," and I said, "No. What are you talking about?" He said, "Oh, yeah, man, this guy's got a magazine called Jimbo. He'll give you a book." He said, "Let me go get one out of my car." So he comes, and it's got a good, great articles. It's like a little newspaper. It had all kinds of pictures of cars and where to buy stuff and how to make connections and all of that. And it's like, wow, this is really good. This is a handy thing to have if you're going to deal with this kind of stuff. So I went and I subscribed to it. $10. Well, the first two copies I got was almost exactly like that one. Well, the next copy I get, and you got to stop and think about this now. The mail lady that comes to my house, every time I see her, I go to the mailbox. If I have a Coke, I give it to her. If I don't, I just say hi to her. But I've been witnessing to her for the last 4 years, this lady. Well, I go out there to get my little book that she had just brought me, and I open it up, and when I did, this is half naked girl on the front of it. And it was like, now this girl, this male woman's going to think I'm into some kind of porn stuff. And it made me mad. And I got so aggravated with it, and I'm still going to do it. I don't know how to email stuff like that. But I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. That may not take long, but at least he's going to get that piece of it. Because that's wrong to send somebody's junk to your house. Well, I tell you what even made it worse than that. A guy told me, he said, "There's an article in there on a page that you need to go look at because it's a piece that you need for one of your cars." And I said, "Okay." So, you know, I told Janice, I said, "Get a magic marker and put some clothes on this thing on the front of this book. You know, cover it up." So she does. She loves to do that. You know, she covered it up. I had to do my boys that way when they were young. You know, they wanted to go look at books. And I said, "If your mama will put some clothes on them, you can look at it." You know, that's what the devil does. He starts with little bitty things. Well, anyway, I go in there and I look, and on that page that article's on, it's on there. I wrote down the stuff on it, and I flipped the page over, and now it says a horoscope all the way down. Gives me another reason to call this guy, give him another piece of my mind. Because that's what happens if we don't watch the things of this world. And what blew me away was this guy wrote so many articles and put so many funny stories in it, and now he's turned to pictures of women and the interviews that he does with them. It's horrible. And now he's starting out with the horoscope. I mean, it's time sometimes that we got to stop, the things of the world from coming. And I don't want that kind of trash at my house. But then I stopped the lady that brought my mail one day, and she had one in her hand. I said, stop. I want to talk to you just a second. And I explained to her just what I just talked to you. And she said, I'm amazed that you said that, because the stuff that comes to my house is ridiculous. And she said, and I did not order any of it. It just comes. How many of you know that the devil is no respecter of people? He will send trash to your house just like he will send it to anybody else's. But it's a matter of what we do with it when it gets there. Amen? I see. Where are we at here? Oh, yeah. Idolatry. Sorcery, hatred, contentions. We're going to move on. Contentions. How many times you see little squirmishes going on? You know? I've been at this church almost 30 years now, and I've seen little contentions going on at times. And it's time to stop all that stuff. It's time to love one another. Like Christ said, love your brethren. Did he not say, pray for those that despitefully use you? He said, get along with people the best that you can. I mean, as a church, we need to come and say, I don't want that to happen in my life. I don't want to have hatred in my life. I don't want contentions. I don't want to see jealousies happen in my life. I've been around here long enough to see jealousies. You know, and these young guys, thank you for being here today. But they're young. And sometimes they'll see a girl, you know, and they just, wow. You know, they all at once fall in love with them. And then that girl falls in love with another guy. Well, this guy that fell in love with her first is jealous. This don't happen in our youth group, does it? That's another church I'm talking about. Outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelers, and the like, of which I've told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to know who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven, you read that right there. That's the true test. Those that do those things or do not do those things are the ones that's going to heaven. I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God says. And it's time for us to look at the Word of God and take it for what it says. It is the fact. And we have to exercise our faith, and then we will see the fruits of that. Amen? Galatians 6:18, it says, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That tells me that I'm going to have to present. How many of you know I am a slave? And so are you. But whose slave do you want to be? You can either be a slave to corruption, or you can be a slave unto Jesus Christ, where there is no corruption. I've chosen to be a slave of the Lord's. And that doesn't mean that I don't have rights and I have no say-so. Y'all know as well as I do, thank God that we're joint heirs also with Jesus Christ. But I am His. He is my Lord and my Savior. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I am His child. But I am also a slave unto Him. When He speaks, I move. When He says do something, I do it. And you know who gets blessed out of doing that? I do. Every time I do something He wants me to do, I am the recipient of the greatest blessings that you can ever imagine. The lust of the flesh, listen to this in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17, it says, 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. And that world is cosmos. The very thing that Jesus said he's going to leave us in, but do not become a part of that world. Do not be a part of it. This is a word to us, if you will, a command. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is what? It's not in him. We cannot love God and mammon. We cannot love God and what goes on in this cosmos. We have got to come to that place and love God and love God only. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen? Now listen to this part. I want you to go to Romans 6, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to get you out of here for 12 o'clock. You'll be home plenty of time. Barbecue that chicken. Pop them firecrackers. We're going to celebrate the 4th because we're free people. Amen? But we're going to get freer before we get out of here. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were," everybody say this, "we were buried with him through baptism into" what? Death. That means that old flesh, that means that old sinful nature, that Adamic nature that every one of us got from what Adam and Eve did, we're to put that thing to death. We need to let it die. And we do that because when we went in that watery tank that's right back there, we went in there with the intention of saying, "I want this selfish nature that I have. I want this thing that I want the world and the things of the world. I want this thing to die. That I will not desire those things, but I will desire the things of God." Is that what you got baptized for? Answer me. If you don't answer me, I'm going to trade you in. That's what Brother Terry says. I can't trade you in. You're already here. You'll trade me out. But we got to come to that place and realize that's what we went in that tank for, was to die to that sinful nature and let Christ live in us. Let's move on. It says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Everybody that's a born again, baptized believer, say, "I'm a dead man." That's what we are. I mean, instead of coming down here and getting water baptized, we should have put it in an obituary column in the paper. Said, "I died." Put our picture in there. I've been looking at that thing often. Thank God, I hadn't seen my picture in it lately, But you pick it up, and I see friends, and I see neighbors, and I see people that I've known for years. Lots of people recently that are dying. But we are to come to that same place and realize that when I got water baptized, I died to the sinful nature. I could put that in the paper. It would be a great announcement for this world to put in there, put your picture. You don't have to do this. I'm just joking with you. Put your picture in there and say, "He died on this day. He was dunked under the water and he came up alive. But he's dead to himself, but now he's alive to Christ. For he who has died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." See, it's not so much about being dead and not doing anything. I take this out of the scripture and believe that I got a lot of things that I can do. I got more do's that I can do than I have don'ts. Because that's one thing that kept me from becoming Christian a long time ago. You can't do this and you don't do that and you better not do that. And it's like when I got saved and I got free, there's a lot of things that I used to do I don't want to do anymore. But there's a lot of things that I can do now because Christ says I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen? That gives us life when we begin to do that. It says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness towards God." Isn't that good? I mean, it gives us a choice what we can do. And when we choose righteousness over unrighteousness, God will honor that. God will come and do some great and mighty things in your life. But if we do not do those things, we will miss the blessings that's there for us. We have got to come to that place. And the Apostle Paul, even the one that wrote everything that we're talking about here today, is the very one that got up in front of him. He says, "I want to proclaim this today. I die daily. That tells me that he was a man that was on a mission. That was a man that had to live in this cosmos and not be a part of it. Did he not say in chapter 4 of Romans about the law and the things of the law? Then he comes up to chapter 5 and he talks about the grace of God. Then he comes to chapter 6 and he talks about dying to the things of this world, dying and being raised in the newness of life. And then he comes to chapter 7 and he says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And then he cries out at the end of that chapter and he says, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of sin, from this cosmos that I live in? But then in chapter 8, he comes up with the very first verse. He says, now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that is freedom. That is coming to the place to realize if he had that problem, we're going to have that problem. But if he got that answer, we're going to get that answer. If it was a revelation to him, it ought to be a revelation to us. But it doesn't happen to everybody. There was two thieves on the cross one day that were being crucified along with Christ. And they were mocking him, just like those children of Israel did when Jesus was with them through the journey bringing the water. And they mocked him and tempted him. One of them, both of them were doing that at first, but one of them realized, truly this is the Son of God. Truly this is the living God. And one of them turned to Jesus and died to himself, but he lived as unto the Lord. One of them cursed him and he died, but he'll never live again. Never. Because he never knew what it meant to die to himself. One thief on the cross did, one did not. Ananias and Sapphira were in the church and they were receiving offerings and they came and one of them comes in and she lies about the offering. Immediately she dies. They take her out and bury her. Her husband's out on a trip. He comes in. He comes to the same place and he lies about the same money that she did and he died in the same place. They had no concept of dying to self and they both died. Another one, Demas was following Paul. He was there with him. He was in his teachings. He probably heard these same words that we're listening to right now today. In fact, Paul even wrote one of these and he says, it's a little bit scratchy because I'm writing it now in my own handwriting. His eyes never did get totally healed where he could see good. And he's writing this in his own handwriting. And he says, but I think you'll get the message. And I was thinking about that, and it's like Demas was probably there. But Demas never caught what we're talking about today. And the Bible says that Demas, Paul even wrote this, he says, Demas has forsaken me, and he's gone back to the things and the riches of this world. That same word, world, cosmos. He didn't choose the things of God. He chose the things of the world. He had the same invitation to anybody, just like any of us do. He did not heed die to sin. David did not. David was a king. David was doing great things. And the Bible says, in a time of war, when kings went out to battle, David was sitting on his roof, and he looked across the veranda there and saw this lady on the roof bathing in the nude. That tells me he took his eyes off of God and he put them on the, literally, flesh. And it almost destroyed his life. Thank God if it wasn't for the grace of God, it would have. But he lost his family, he lost the kingdom, he lost everything. Because he did not deal with dying to self. And I want you to know, listen to this last scripture I'm going to give you. This is Romans 6:16. Present yourselves to obey God and not the flesh. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Amen? That's independence. That's freedom. When we come to that place as Christians and we die to the flesh, we know that we got to live in this world. There's nothing we can do about some of them. We do have a right to vote. We do have a right to do some things. But some things is just going to happen. but we're still not to be a part of it. Because we're in it, but we're not supposed to be in it. You understand what I'm talking about? But we got to, as Christians, come to that place and die to self, that we will not be swayed by the lust and the glamour of this world, but we got to listen and do what God says to do. And that's freedom. Amen? If you want freedom in your life, I want you to stand up. If you want to be free from sin, if you want to be free from the flesh that would come to destroy you, that's what it's all about. And you know, I'm not going to hold you any longer. We're not going to have any music or anything. You just made your own altar call right where you are. But I want you to come to that place and realize that you need to be a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have the blessings of God come on you. But don't be a slave to the things of this world that will destroy you. They will rob, they will take the things of God out of your life. And I want to encourage you, church, to take it and use it. Make a stand for what you believe in the days to come. Not only as Americans, but as Christians, we need to stand for righteousness. Amen? And get out there and get the good news out and live a Christian life. Our witness is what people see and hear out of our lives. So that tells me everything that I do has to be surrendered to the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the people here, Lord, today. Lord, this precious church, Lord God, that you died for. And Lord, as we come today to make a stand and believe that we're standing for righteousness, Lord, that we're standing, Lord God, and say, even though we're in the world, we're not going to be a part of the world. We're going to die to that fleshly nature, Lord God. We're going to die to those things of the flesh. And Lord, we want to live unto the things of the Spirit, Lord, and to know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you are faithful, Lord God. And it pleased you to give the kingdom to the children. Lord, it pleased you, Lord God, that we are the righteousness, Lord God, because you made us that way, Lord. We give you glory and honor for that. Lord, I ask that you watch over every person in this building, those that couldn't make it today, Lord, because they're traveling. Lord, that you'd give them traveling mercies, that you'd protect them, Lord God, and lead them and guide them. And Lord, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, we will take it and we will live by it, Lord, because you have made us free. And whom the Son has made free is what? Free indeed. And Lord, we leave this place today with an independence, Lord God, that we are, and a dependency upon you because we are your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all can get your flags out and wave them. Go somewhere and barbecue and have a good time and hug somebody.
On Monday.